This is the reading for March 10th. Psalm 69. God save me, because the water has risen to my neck. I'm sinking down into the mud, and there is nothing to stand on. I am in deep water, and the flood covers me. I am tired from calling for help. My throat is sore. My eyes are tired from waiting for God to help me. There are more people who hate me for no reason than hairs on my head. Powerful enemies want to destroy me for no reason. They make me pay back what I did not steal. God, you know what I have done wrong. I cannot hide my guilt from you. Lord God, all-powerful, do not let those who hope in you be ashamed because of me. God of Israel, do not let your worshipers be disgraced because of me. For you I carry this shame, and my face is covered with disgrace. I am like a stranger to my closest relatives and a foreigner to my mother's children. My strong love for your temple completely controls me. When people insult you, it hurts me. When I cry and go without food, they make fun of me. When I wear clothes of sadness, they joke about me. They make fun of me in public places, and the drunkards make up songs about me. But I pray to you, Lord, for favor. God, because of your great love, answer me. You are truly able to save. Pull me from the mud, and do not let me sink. Save me from those who hate me and from the deep water. Do not let the flood drown me, or the deep water swallow me, or the grave close its mouth over me. Lord, answer me, because your love is so good. Because of your great kindness, turn to me. Do not hide from me, your servant. I am in trouble. Hurry to help me. Come near and save me. Rescue me from my enemies. You see my shame and disgrace. You know all my enemies and what they have said. Insults have broken my heart and left me weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. I found no one to comfort me. They put poison in my food and gave me vinegar to drink. Let their own feasts cause their ruin. Let their feasts trap them and pay them back. Let their eyes be closed so they cannot see, and their backs be forever weak from troubles. Pour your anger out on them. Let your anger catch up with them. May their place be empty. Leave no one to live in their tents. They chase after those you have hurt, and they talk about the pain of those you have wounded. Charge them with crime after crime, and do not let them have anything good. Wipe their names from the book of life, and do not list them with those who do what is right. I am sad and hurting. God, save me and protect me. I will praise God in a song and will honor him by giving thanks. That will please the Lord more than offering him cattle, more than sacrificing a bull with horns and hoofs. Poor people will see this and be glad. Be encouraged, you who worship God. The Lord listens to those in need and does not look down on captives. Heaven and earth should praise him, the seas and everything in them. God will save Jerusalem and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will live there and own the land. The descendants of his servants will inherit that land, and those who love him will live there. Numbers chapter 19. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the teachings that the Lord commanded. Tell the Israelites to get a young red cow that does not have anything wrong with it and that has never been worked. Give the cow to Eleazar the priest. He will take it outside the camp and kill it. Then Eleazar the priest must put some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it 7 times toward the front of the meeting tent. The whole cow must be burned while he watches. The skin, the meat, the blood, and the intestines must all be burned. Then the priest must take a cedar stick, a hyssop branch, and a red string and throw them onto the burning cow. After the priest has washed himself and his clothes with water, he may come back into the camp, but he will be unclean until evening. The man who burns the cow must wash himself and his clothes in water. He will be unclean until evening. Then someone who is clean will collect the ashes from the cow and put them in a clean place outside the camp. The Israelites will keep these ashes to use in the cleansing water in a special ceremony to cleanse away sin. The man who collected the cow's ashes must wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. This is a lasting rule for the Israelites and for the foreigners among them. Those who touch a dead person's body will be unclean for 7 days. They must wash themselves with the cleansing water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Then they will be clean. But if they do not wash themselves on the 3rd day and the 7th day, They cannot be clean. If those who touch a dead person's body stay unclean and go to the Lord's holy tent, it becomes unclean. They must be cut off from Israel. If the cleansing water is not sprinkled on them, they are unclean and will stay unclean. This is the teaching about someone who dies in a tent. Anyone in the tent or anyone who enters it will be unclean for 7 days. And every open jar or pot without a cover becomes unclean. If anyone is outside and touches someone who was killed by a sword or who died a natural death, or if anyone touches a human bone or a grave, that person will be unclean for 7 days. So you must use the ashes from the burnt offering to make that person clean again. Pour fresh water over the ashes into a jar. A clean person must take a hyssop branch and dip it into the water, and then he must sprinkle it over the tent and all its objects. He must also sprinkle the people who were there, as well as anyone who touched a bone or the body of someone who was killed, or a dead person, or a grave. The person who is clean must sprinkle this water on the unclean people on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. On the 7th day they will become clean. They must wash their clothes and take a bath, and they will be clean that evening. If any who are unclean do not become clean, they must be cut off from the community. Since they were not sprinkled with the cleansing water, they stay unclean, and they can make the Lord's holy tent unclean. This is a lasting rule. Those who sprinkle the cleansing water must also wash their clothes, and anyone who touches the water will be unclean until evening. Anything an unclean person touches becomes unclean, and whoever touches it will be unclean until evening. Numbers chapter 20. In the first month, all the people of Israel arised at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people, so they came together against Moses and Aaron. They argued with Moses and said, "We should have died in front of the Lord as our brothers did. Why did you bring the Lord's people into this desert? Are we and our animals to die here? Why did you bring us from Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain, figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." So Moses and Aaron left the people and went to the entrance of the meeting tent. There they bowed face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take your walking stick, and you and your brother Aaron should gather the people. Speak to that rock in front of them, so that its water will flow from it. When you bring the water out from that rock, give it to the people and their animals." So Moses took the stick from in front of the Lord, as he had said. Moses and Aaron gathered the people in front of the rock, and Moses said, "Now listen to me, you who turn against God. Do you want us to bring water out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and hit the rock twice with his stick. Water began pouring out, and the people and their animals drank it. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me, and because you did not honor me as holy before the Lord, you will not lead them into the land I will give them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites argued with the Lord, and where he showed them he was holy." From Kadesh, Moses sent messengers to the king of Edom. He said, "Your brothers, the Israelites, say to you, 'You know about all the troubles we have had, how our ancestors went down into Egypt and we lived there for many years. The people of Egypt were cruel to us and our ancestors, but when we cried out to the Lord, he heard us and sent us an angel to bring us out of Egypt. Now here we are at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your land. Please let us pass through your country. We will not touch any fields of grain or vineyards, and will not drink water from the wells. We will travel only along the king's road, not turning right or left until we have passed through your country." But the king of Edom answered, "You may not pass through here. If you try, I will come and meet you with swords." The Israelites answered, "We will go along the main road, and if we or our animals drink any of your water, we will pay for it. We only want to walk through. That's all." But he answered, "You may not pass through here." Then the Edomites went out to meet the Israelites with a large and powerful army. The Edomites refused to let them pass through their country, so the Israelites turned back. All the Israelites moved from Kadesh to Mount Hor near the border of Edom. There the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Aaron will die. He will not enter the land that I'm giving to the Israelites, because you both acted against my command at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and his son Eleazar up on Mount Hor, and take off Aaron's special clothes and put them on his son Eleazar. Aaron will die there. He will join his ancestors. Moses obeyed the Lord's command. They climbed up Mount Hor, and all the people saw them go. Moses took off Aaron's clothes and put them on Aaron's son Eleazar. Then Aaron died there on top of the mountain. Moses and Eleazar came back down the mountain. And when all the people learned that Aaron was dead, everyone in Israel cried for him for 30 days.
Chapter 12.
Then using this illustration, Jesus spoke to them. He said, "A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, made a vat for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the vineyard workers and went on a trip. At the right time, he sent a servant to the workers to collect from them a share of the grapes from the vineyard. The workers took the servant, beat him, and sent him back with nothing. So the man sent another servant to them. They hit the servant on the head and treated him shamefully. The man sent another, and they killed that servant. Then he sent many other servants. Some of these they beat, and others they killed. He had one more person to send. That person was his son, whom he loved. Finally, he sent his son to them. He thought, 'They will respect my son.' But those workers said to one another, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours.' So they took him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the workers and give the vineyard to others. Have you never read the scripture passage? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is amazing for us to see.' They wanted to arrest him, but were afraid of the crowd. They knew that he had directed this illustration at them, so they left him alone and went away. The leader sent some of the Pharisees and some of Herod's followers to Jesus. They wanted to trap him into saying the wrong thing. When they came to him, they said, 'Teacher, we know that you tell the truth. You don't favor individuals because of who they are. Rather, you teach the way of God truthfully. Is it right to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay taxes or not?' Jesus recognized their hypocrisy, so he asked them, 'Why do you test me? Bring me a coin so that I can look at it.' They brought a coin. He said to them, 'Whose face and name is this?' They told him, 'The emperor's.' Jesus said to them, 'Give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give God what belongs to God.' They were surprised at his reply. Some Sadducees, who say that people will never come back to life, came to Jesus. They asked him, 'Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if a man dies and leaves a wife but no child, his brother should marry his widow and have children for his brother.' There were seven brothers. The first got married and died without having children. The second married her and died without having children. So did the third. None of the seven brothers had any children. Last of all, the woman died. When the dead come back to life, whose wife will she be? The seven brothers had married her." Jesus said to them, "Aren't you mistaken because you don't know the scriptures or God's power? When the dead come back to life, they don't marry. Rather, they are like the angels in heaven. Haven't you read in the book of Moses that the dead come back to life? It's in the passage about the bush where God said, 'I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You're badly mistaken." One of the scribes went to Jesus during the argument with the Sadducees. He saw how well Jesus answered them, so he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of them all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second most important commandment is this, 'Love your neighbor as you love yourself.' No other commandment is greater than these." The scribe said to Jesus, "Teacher, that was well said. You've told the truth that there is only one God and no other besides him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus heard how wisely the man answered, he told the man, "You're not too far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him another question. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courtyard, he asked, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is David's son? David, guided by the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, take the highest position in heaven until I put your enemies under your control.' David calls him Lord, so how can he be his son?" The large crowd enjoyed listening to him. As he taught, he said, "Watch out for the scribes. They like to walk around in long robes, to be greeted in the marketplaces, and to have the front seats in synagogues and the places of honor at dinners. They rob widows by taking their houses and then say long prayers to make themselves look good. The scribes will receive the most severe punishment." As Jesus sat facing the temple offering box, he watched how much money people put into it. Many rich people put in large amounts. A poor widow dropped in 2 small coins worth less than a cent. He called his disciples and said to them, "I can guarantee this truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others. All of them have given what they could spare, but she, in her poverty, has given everything she had to live on."